Hi, what's your name?
Paul Fenn, local power based in Massachusetts.
So, Paul, you said you wrote the first laws for CCA. How did that go?
It was really interesting. I mean, I was 25 years old, and I'd gotten out of graduate school, University of Chicago, and I wanted to write some kind of a law related to climate change. And that was an alternative to the pollution credit trading systems that were being used at the time that had been put forward by the Margaret Thatcher government in the United Kingdom and was essentially a campaign for, you know, neoliberal economics, fairly early phase in the early 90s. So I was looking for a law to write and came up with CCA.
So what were some of the first things you included in that law that have stuck around?
Well, basically the idea was instead of having just deregulation of markets, which is what these people were proposing, Thatcher and Reagan and at the time Bill Clinton, the basic idea was, why not just give it the choice to cities so whole communities can choose instead of each individual having to make choices in markets in which they have no market power, in which they can't actually get someone to sell them green energy. There isn't any. So create the leverage by allowing communities to combine, allow them to make their decisions through a vote of the town council, the city council. That's the vote, that's the decision. And then, but still, if people don't like it and don't want to go along with it, let them opt out. And so you're not forcing people. And after that, it just came down to, well, the bill passed, 1997, and then I started writing some other bills in Ohio, New Jersey, California, and then CCA started forming. And so then the challenge became dealing with city governments and getting them to see the opportunity and getting them to not just go out and kind of do the easy thing, but realize that you could do really different things with this and you could solve climate change if you did interesting things with it, you know, and not just buy what everyone else is buying, because there's a strong tendency in government to just imitate the status quo.
So, yeah, it seems like those original tenements that you added into that law have stuck with it over the past 25 years. How did you know exactly that strong core that you put into those laws?
You know, it's just, it takes a fanatic in a way, and the natural tendency of this world is to dilute everything and to sort of disintegrate it over time. So things just kind of fall apart. You know, it was an idea, it forms, and then it falls apart. So a lot of the work was just fighting against that. When it fell apart, when CCAs formed that were crappy, I criticized them, said they were crappy, and turned the activists, you know, against them. And so that they kept their ideas clearer about their goals and didn't just kind of get fuzzy and declare victory before they actually achieve victory, which is often a real common problem. Oh, we're 100% renewable. You really think you're done? I mean, there are more things to do. And to sort of push that envelope, try to foster the creative impulse inside of it, because you know, climate change and climate mobilization, these are real physical things. And so they require not just transactions, like I'm going to be 100% green, as if you just check here and you're done. You know what I mean? That's nothing. That's just a piece of paper. And a power plant has to shut off. Right, it has to actually shut off.
Mm.
It's how do you close power plants?
Wow.
Through a change of activity in the market, where lots of people go along with a new way of doing it, so you don't need that power plant anymore. And that's what happened in California. In fact, we shut nuclear power plants. CCA's closed a nuclear power plant in California. The utilities blame CCA for that.
Wow.
And we thought, wow, that's so great. Because they didn't just go out and buy credits and this sort of thing. They actually went out and built wind farms, solar farms, microgrids. They start getting into building. You know, it's like the Green New Deal, but it's local. It doesn't need new taxes. It doesn't have a rate increase. You know, nobody gets hurt. It just opens up a space for people to do things in many ways they already want to do. And then those who don't want to do can sort of be shepherded along with it. So they contribute and they also benefit from it. But it's really kind of those two elements, the active element, the community that really wants to do something, and you try to empower them, give them the tools they need, give them the support they need so they can do it, build your microgrid in your building, you know, your apartment building or on your block with your neighbors. That creative element, that's critical because you need innovation. But then also to have everyone be included so it isn't just a few affluent, educated people that do all the cool stuff. No, everyone gets sort of drawn into it, and then you have impact, because that's carbon impact. That's how you get to scale, you know.
So how has the state of California, what kind of progress have they seen in the past 25 years since CCA first started?
Well, CCA was last adopted in California in, 20 years ago, which to me seems recent now. It had the biggest political battle of all. So the utilities there opposed CCA, unlike any other state, and that delayed the implementation. So it wasn't until 2010 that the first CCA launched in California, and that's a countywide CCA with 10 cities or so. Now there are 18 countywide CCAs, so they're up to like 30-35% of the whole state is CCA. It's the whole coast. And they have built 3 gigawatts, which is, I don't know, maybe $4 billion or $5 billion of renewables in the last 3 years.
Oh, wow.
So they had to get fired up like 2010, 2013, and then they just went nuts. And so now you just have all this activity going on. And I think they're going to double, triple the gigawatts, you know, in the next few years. And it's supposed to go, it's the utilities are forecasting that CCA will serve 85% of California in the next couple of years.
Oh,
so it's
nice.
Literally gone pretty much to cover the whole state.
Wow.
And so it's going to be huge carbon impact on the state, physical carbon impact from old power plants shutting off. And that's really when you talk about, you know, the United Nations 2030 schedule and reducing carbon 7% per year. It has to be, you know, like that. It has to be, you know, like you imagine the New Deal, but instead of it being a few huge dams over here, the gigantic mega facilities, it's really about transforming the private sector, you know, changing buildings. And so it's in people's homes and businesses. It's not out in the countryside. It's right in the middle of the urban core. That's the place that has to be transformed. And I think that's where the action is.
So coming to New York State, we're sort of in the early stages. How long do you think it'll take for us to sort of see the progress that California's made? Do you think it'll be faster since it's already happened somewhere else?
Yeah, you've also got a governor who's very focused on it. Whatever his imperfections might be, he was very clear that CCA is a carbon platform. And that was the first for me. That's what brought me here, was the fact that he said that. Because governors had never said that before. This is a platform for energy localization, for microgrids, and so on. So the New York system is not perfect. It does have barriers and issues and problems, but every state has barriers and issues and problems. The 9 states have CCA, and I've worked in all of them. So there's nothing uniquely problematic about the New York market structure. You have a very strong, I would say, state government wanting these things to happen. You know, you got the New York Power Authority wanting to be an active player in the market, wanting to partner and get involved with CCAs and municipalities. So there's a lot of infrastructure there, public infrastructure, that's key to making this kind of stuff happen. And then, you know, I mean, New York is one of the most sophisticated states in the union, politically, business-wise, technologically, right? I mean, it's like California of the East, basically, right? I mean, or California is the New York of the West, but they're kind of comparable in my book. I never came here to push CCA because I thought, I'm not from New York. I don't want to try to swim with the sharks. I'm from California, so I can play that game there, and I did. But you got to be a native to do that, you know. And so I didn't do it. But then it kind of came. I was invited here by a local group, Citizens for Local Power, based in Rosendale, Kingston. And so they drew me into the state. We drafted a bill for CCA in 2014, and then the governor ordered CCA shortly after that. So we went in and started working with the Public Service Commission on the regs and rules. And then we got hired by New York State Energy Research and Development Authority, NYSERDA, to work on the so-called CCA toolkit. So we've had a really, you know, positive experience with the state as far as their clarity about goals and technology and a kind of a bypass mentality, which we've always had, as opposed to, you know, negotiated, brokered kind of approach. No, you have to create structures where people can break out of the system and make things happen. I think the state government kind of appreciates that. And it's not common. So I think it's an opportunity. And that with this, the people in New York being an educated bunch and got a lot of resources here. I mean, most states have neither, you know. And so New York's the kind of state that ought to lead on climate change, and it's trying to. And I think CCA may end up being a really critical part of that.
Great. So there's a lot of hope.
Yeah, to make things happen quickly and at scale, you know, to make the change happen in the next 10 years. That's all we got.